Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast, episode number 4. Today, my conversation is with Tino Beth. When I was traveling in Bali last year by myself, Tino was behind me in line as I entered an entrepreneurship event that I did not plan on attending. So I met Tino, we connected. It wasn't until much later that I realized how aligned his work was with mine. So join us for a conversation on his work and quantum feedback. Everything expressed in the Live Your Life podcast is either my opinion or the opinion of my guest, and this is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you find yourself in need of therapy or other healthcare services, please seek out resources for that. I'm Jasmine Savari, and welcome to the Live Your Life podcast. As a coach with a master's degree in psychology, I know that so many of us are missing the authentic experience of truly living our lives. I want to inspire you with conversations that expand your consciousness and empower you to create the best life possible. Let's start living now, because now is all we have. I want to hear a little bit about your story, Tino. So a couple weeks ago, you were saying, or last time I talked to you, you were talking about what brought you to this work, how you arrived here. And so I'm wondering if you're open to just sharing the whole story. How'd you get here? What do you do?
Ah, fascinating. Yeah, well, thanks for the big question.
the big picture.
The big picture question. So I'm calling in from Australia, and I grew up in a small town in Australia. And how did this all begin? Let's just start at the beginning. when I was growing up, you know, my parents were pretty alternative, hippie sort of, you know, alternative-minded people, and they moved to a small town in Australia called Byron Bay. Now, this is like the alternative capital of Australia and one of the most beautiful places on earth. So very grateful that they decided to do that. And on their journey that they did, I saw my mom was really struggling with addiction and drug addiction and her own mental health. And that really, like, you know, created this question inside me. It's like, why can't she just reinvent herself? Like, why is she so stuck? And, you know, like, I was 10 years old at the time, really, 9, 10, 11. And then before I even got a chance to really to do anything about that, even though I had that insight at that age, she passed away and died. And, or should I say committed suicide in a drug overdose. So that really, like, you know, like, put fuel to the fire of who I was and what I was doing at the time. And, you know, I really just wanted to understand what the, you know, what death was all about and what life was all about and what the meaning of life is and what are we all doing here and why are we, you know, like, what's our purpose in life? And that really just propelled me on this, you know, hero's journey to figure that out, to experience that, to test myself and to really push the limits of the fringe and of the fringe between life and death, essentially. So
I want to jump in really quick and just say, I did not know any of your story. So I did not know this. So thank you for being so open and willing to share so quickly these things. And now I see a little bit more about your passion for this work because of these painful stories. They're super motivating to try to figure things out. So thank you for sharing and continue.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. And then basically, you know, like, I went through a childhood of, like, testing out these boundaries, testing out the boundaries of society, you know, and really testing out the boundaries of different laws in society and experimenting with some drugs and, you know, like, addiction and all that sort of stuff. And during that time, I felt I was slipping down a downward spiral of addiction, just like my mom had done. And I saw the trend, like, I could see it. And, you know, and it was all around me. My friends at the time were, like, you know, growing up, just about to leave high school. We were probably like 16, 17, 18 years old. And I saw this trend happening. I was like, man, if I don't change this, I'm going to, like, start entering adulthood, entering out into the real world with this, you know, with this momentum of addiction, of, you know, self-victimization essentially. So one night after a random, well, after, you know, a party, after I like really just like did my normal thing, which is probably just drinking and smoking too much weed and stuff like that. After a party, I decided to drive home because I fell asleep at the party, as you do when you consume too many of these things. And then I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I was like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and everyone's asleep. And I was like, I think I'm going to go to my car and just like chill there. And then, you know, things progressed and I was like coming to more and I was like beginning to challenge this notion of like, what is my reality and what is my life and how do I steer it? How do I control it? And what would I have to do? And when would I have to do it to do that? And I was, you know, I was pretty radical at the time. I was like, little bit of a thought leader in my like in that social circle, and I was constantly like pushing the boundaries. So I jumped in my car. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I started driving home. And it was all good. And I was, you know, like I was literally like over the limit. I was breaking the law, and it was kind of, you know, we're all doing that now. It's kind of weird because, you know, you only have to go outside, and you're breaking the law. Technically speaking, which is kind of strange.
Why don't you say what you're talking about? Because we don't know when people are going to be listening to this.
So I'm talking about the coronavirus, which is a decade sort of like once in a lifetime, once in a millennium sort of thing that's happening where we're all on lockdown and there's all these rules. You can't go to the beach. You can't do anything except for exercise. And you know, like they're giving out fines for people that are just watching the sunset, looking at the beach, you know, sitting on the beach. So it's like, it's an interesting time that we're in at the moment, you know, like April 2020. So anyway, back to my story. I was driving home and I was like, coming to terms with the fact that, you know, not only was I, you know, I was capable of driving home, but I was also you know, challenging my own inner psyche of how do I change my life? How do I like propel myself on a whole new life direction? And it was that thought process that really got me thinking and started this narrative in my mind, which was like, you know, deconstructing how other people had done that, how other people had begun their hero's journey or sort of changed their life, you know, in a massive way, you know, and examples would be like something tragic happens to them or their family and they have to rise up or run, you know, running away from home. That was a thing in youth. That was like a thing you could do. And to really like put the pressure on yourself to rise up. And I was considering all these different things at the time. And I was like, well, I need something instant. And I was driving home at the time. And I was like, I need something like quick, something instant, something that's going to like reset me so that I'm different. And, you know, this is not what I recommend. This is not what I practice anymore, but I saw an opportunity and I was like, man, what if I coincidentally crashed my car and that would change my life? Like I would be like either nearly, you know, like I'd be on a recovery track, you know, essentially. And then from there I'd be, you know, course correcting what my current trend is, what my current momentum's like of this downward spiral of addiction. And I thought, okay, cool. Maybe I could just drive my car off this cliff and, you know, survive. But it was a pretty big sort of hill. And I was like, that's not a good idea. So I decided I aborted that idea at the time. And instead, I saw this opportunity. At the time, I saw it as an opportunity. There was a semi-trailer parked on the side of the road just next to the cliff. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll just veer into the back of the semi-trailer. And, you know, it was like split moment thought, action, intention, you know, like it was like it all happened real quick. And the last thing I can remember is like looking up and seeing the back of the semi-trailer, my lights reflecting off the back of it. And then everything went black pretty much. So during that time, I had the wisdom to, if you could call it that, wisdom to veer to the side to not hit it full on. So I would, you know, protect myself from the actual collision, my side of the car. And that was really like the beginning of this whole hero's journey, because from that point, I spent 5 days in a coma. And it took me a long time to like realize where I was, what had happened, because I had amnesia at the time, you know, in that state. And they would, you know, in that hospital bed I was in, they would ask me questions, and I was completely incoherent. I can remember parts of that. And then I remember parts of myself, my consciousness, being in this white light realm, this out-of-body experience, where I had to, essentially, I got the opportunity to relive my life, like look at all the lessons of my life and really start to, you know, understand what my life was about. And to be honest, like I was like a little bit disappointed that that was the extent of my life. Like I was only 18 at the time, so didn't really have too much to show for it. And part of me just really wanted another chance. And the wisdom that I was getting, the coaching and the guidance I was getting at the time, which was, you need to find what is your number one thing. Like, what's your purpose? Like, what's your reason for going back into that body? Essentially, that's what I was being asked. So I had to really figure out what my reason was for being alive. Or, you know, or if I didn't figure that out, I'd continue on another journey, continue into another body and do whatever comes next. So, you know, I dug deep.
So I have a couple of questions. I'm trying not to interrupt you because I'm just like, I can't believe this story. So when you decided to crash into this trailer, were you thinking that this was the only way that you could stop the pattern?
I didn't think it was the only way. I just thought it was like the most, it was the most accessible way that I had at the time. That was all in my control. That, you know, like would, you know, would require massive change within me.
So it sounds like you felt pretty powerless to do it.
Yeah, I think I did, you know, like I think I did growing up in a small town surrounded by the same people that are, you know, like were doing the same stuff. And I guess feeling the shame of doing that in the small town and there not being many like resources, many mentors, many guides, many, there's no like initiations that were like, that are attracted to me. Like I wasn't attracted to them at least. I didn't see them in my world. So, yeah, I think I did feel pretty like overwhelmed and powerless to actually create change and to have an impact in my life. And that's probably, you know, like a very valuable lesson there in terms of the kind of work that I'm doing now.
Do you feel like it was a conscious part of you who made that decision to do that? Crash?
I had a moment of illumination like during the time I was driving, and I was like, yeah, if I can, you know, reset my system, then I can, you know, like go on a whole different trajectory. Like I can just do a 180, so to speak.
So it was like a hard reset of the system, kind of.
Yeah. Like the old computers back in the day, like you'd just, you'd pull out the power plug and you'd just reset the whole thing and you'd plug it back in and it would work again.
What do you think? I'm kind of baffled by this decision. What do you think about that decision now? Like, what do you think about this decision that you made?
Oh, it's surreal. Like I didn't even recognize that person in me. You know, like, because it's so radical and it's so like, it's insane almost.
Are you the kind of person who does things like this? Like, do you take like drastic measures to do things?
No. I don't know myself as that these days. I mean, except, you know, buying a sailing boat and risking it all and sailing in the Southern Ocean.
Just that.
So, and maybe just laying everything on the line and not like having a backup plan and just going all in on quantum feedback.
I would imagine that's part of the same part of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said that when you were in this experience, you felt some coaching. What is your awareness of what was coaching you?
you know, like spirit guides or my mom even, because she had been dead for 6 years physically, but, you know, I knew there was still like an energetic presence there. What is that that's coaching you? You know, I'm coming to believe that it's more me, like it's more me than anything else, but there is other entities out there that, you know, are looking out, you know, they're watching out over us individually. And also they're there at the crossroads at the, you know, in these interim periods between life experiences or journeys or whatever you want to call them, incarnations. You know, they're there to help steer and help guide and to help someone learn. Like even if you did, you know, the worst things, the had the most extreme life experience and then you die and then you transition into this white light realm where you get to have this whole life revision, you can still like learn. You can still change. Like you can course correct in that moment, I believe.
So you've said a couple times the hero's journey, and I'm wondering if you can give a brief description of what that means for you.
Yes, the hero's journey is like an archetypal, mythological, unconscious figure that we have in humanity, like in the human mind and human subconscious. And it is really just a sort of an initiation, if you will, to take your known world and to go off onto an adventure into the unknown. So for example, in today's day and age where we've got coronavirus, we're on quarantine, an example of the hero's journey in our daily life today is just going to the shops because the world that we live in right now is so unknown and is so foreign. Just going to the shops is a hero's journey in and of itself. You have the call to adventure, which is I need milk, I need butter, I need eggs, whatever it is that you need. The call to adventure, and then you have to go past the threshold of that call, which is, you know, actually jumping into your car and actually like, you know, driving to the shops or however you get there. And then you're met by mentors and guides on your journey to buy butter and milk, which is, you know, like signposts. This is a shop, you can go in here, mentors and guides, you know, and also challenges, because, you know, you'll be like, oh, there's a hand sanitizer there. And you'll be like, oh, this is like a mentor or guide, or is it, you know, what is that? And what is the bigger picture of this whole thing? But before we get lost on our journey, which is very important to consider the fact that we can get lost on our journey. And a big part of this corona thing is getting, you know, is a process of losing ourselves on our own journey, and as a result of losing yourself, you find yourself.
Right, like losing who you thought you were.
Yeah, totally. And then the hero's journey continues, you know, you find your shadow self, you get challenged by the dark fears that you have, the, you know, whatever that is, the prices of butter and eggs or whatever. And
or you're the person that's buying, I don't know if you have the problem in Australia, but we had this like toilet paper situation here.
Yeah.
You find yourself being the person who's buying and hoarding like.
Yeah. All those people sneezing all around you.
Yeah. Like looking at the shadow parts of you, like the fears and
Yeah. You're like, oh, I don't, you know, like that brings up fear. So you got to like overcome that. And then you eventually, you know, transition into, you know, the transformation stage, and you start to come full circle. So the hero's journey is represented by a circle, and that's really the circle, and the hero's journey has become a big part of, you know, like how I live my life and, you know, how I coach and how I teach and everything I refer to, and really just a technology for human life, really, because when you break down the hero's journey and the parts that go into that full circle, that completing that circle, which is which was popularized by Joseph Campbell. You get it's predictable. And when it becomes predictable, it becomes scientific. And now when it becomes scientific, now we can use that and duplicate that and be able to predict what's coming up ahead on our journey. For example, you know, today we're in this coronavirus times, and we haven't really even been through, we're sort of in the mentors and guide stage of the journey collectively, because there's, you know, everyone is giving away free courses. Everything that was paid before is now free. Everyone's like trying to help everyone else and support everyone to, like, you know, really maintain mental health and keep learning and growing. But that's, we're only just at the beginning of this whole hero's journey as a collective, as a humanity, with this coronavirus disruption of the status quo, which is fascinating times, because, you know, there's an economic collapse that's coming up, and that's going to bring up all these fears and this shadow part of, you know, like our individuality and our collective unconscious. And it's like, it's going to be very interesting the next couple of months, the next 6 months at least, how it all unfolds. And the part that we choose to play in this individually, because we can become victims of this scenario, or we can become empowered by this scenario. So that's really the choice that we're being presented with, you know, again and again and again and again, every day. Every day is new. We get to make that choice again.
Yeah. So then back to your story. So you had the decision of either giving up or choosing something different.
Yeah. Thanks. So I decided, it came to the 11th hour of my time in this space. And I was like, okay, so there are people out there that know, like, deep hidden truths, like philosophers or wizards or, you know, these sort of like, mystics. I was like, I want to know what they know. Like, I really want to go back and learn the highest forms of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom that are known to mankind in general, and then teach that. And that was my calling. And then I came back, I woke up in my bed in the hospital, and they were like, you know, ask me those questions that they do. And I was like, oh, I don't, you know. And then began my road to recovery. And from that point on, my whole life changed, like completely changed. Because, you know, I wasn't looking for, you know, like numbing, you know, essentially that's what I was doing. I was numbing. I was trying to understand this whole situation that had come from experiencing my mum die in such a traumatic circumstances at such a young age. And I, you know, and I had a vision. I had a calling. That was my initiation that I created for myself. And then my whole life began. And that was like, from there, I spent 10 years literally like studying and being self-sufficient and, you know, being an entrepreneur and, you know, and just finding my way through life and just becoming like a pattern seeker. Like, I was a truth seeker. I was seeking the truth. I was figuring it out. Like, some people, you know, some people I saw out in the media or whatever, I found them to be more truthful than others. So I would pull on those threads and find out what was behind that. And, you know, and then as a result, I began a whole personal development journey, studying Tony Robbins and, you know, like downloading it on Napster at the time and doing all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, and then that was like a 10-year journey to figure out what the highest forms of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom were to mankind. And then coincidentally, during that time, at the end of that 10-year period, I was like, you know, I came across a system, a method of thinking. And this method of thinking has been known for thousands of years. It's been taught, you know, in the single room schoolhouses. It's the original education system. It's a way to actually free your mind so you can think for yourself. And coincidentally, it's the thing that has been removed from public education since the industrialization of schooling, that, you know, so that they could really dumb down the population and control people much in a much easier way. And this method of thinking pertains directly to gathering a body of knowledge and it's a system. It's a system of gathering a body of knowledge around a particular subject. So I chose to experiment with this system and put my life, you know, put it into practice and put my life dependent on my ability to execute this system. So I bought a boat. I bought a sailing boat. And I'd never sailed before. I didn't know anything about sailing. Mm-hmm. And so I gathered a body of knowledge around sailing, around the boat, around... I basically was on the boat for a month just pulling everything apart, understanding what it was, like asking the questions of who, what, where, when, why, and how for, you know, the rudder, for the anti-fouling, for the rigging, for the sails, for the wind, for the weather, you know, and all these different things. And then that gave me an understanding of how to do it. So I would test out, I'd try a little sail, I'd go and do a tack, do a couple of tacks and be like, yeah, that's a tack. I know how to tack now, technically, without an extreme situation. And it gave me the ability to apply this methodology in real life. And then eventually I set off on a sailing trip to sail back to my hometown. And that was really like the test of me, you know, having gathered a body of knowledge, having practiced an understanding of how to use that, fixing the boat and learning how to sail in calm waters, to then have the wisdom to then go off into the unknown, into the ocean, you know, into the Southern Ocean, and, you know, really set off in pretty treacherous conditions sometimes. And, and then sail all the way back to the east coast of Australia and make it back. So that was like the completion. That was like the finale of this 10-year hero's journey to find what these lost tools of learning are and to embody them. And that takes time. It just takes time to embody that so that this system becomes a subconscious way of thinking so that, you know, you're less susceptible to, you know, clickbait news and stuff like that, as in it's generally a way of critical thinking, a system of critical thinking.
So you can use this system of knowledge for anything. Like the point of it is for you to be self-sufficient and trust yourself. And so you just chose sailing as the practice for this.
Yeah. You can apply it to anything. It's a universal tool, universal concept. It's the method that the brain naturally works. So the brain naturally needs inputs. It's why we have five senses to get input into our ability to understand what's going on. You know, using our five senses, so that we can then output something. So we can output words. So we can output action. So we can output movement. So we can output emotions, and, you know, like naturally this is how the brain works on the most simple level. And it's also how the scientific method, you know, works at its most fundamental level. It's a process of having having an idea and testing that hypothesis and then, you know, and then looking at how that hypothesis and how your tests produced a result and then going back and repeating the process.
So if you were to compare the sailboat experience with what one might learn in school today, that's a different system, what would that look like?
Oh, I think it would accelerate your ability to learn for yourself and give you much greater sense of self-confidence and self-belief in yourself.
No, but I mean in the dumbing down system where they don't want you to figure it out. Like, what would that look like? How would that experience compare? So I'm trying to kind of differentiate between, so you found this system that they used to teach to everybody for thousands of years, and then they took it out because they didn't want everybody to have access to this critical thinking for themselves. Mm-mm. You found it. Mm. You use this to set out and learn to sail and have your own experience. So let's say you didn't find the system and you had the same goal of sailing and you were just like a person in the world today going through our educational system without these wisdom resources that you found. How would it look different? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, generally, if I wouldn't have done it on my own, I would have had to have gone through like a sailing school and done that, which is them teaching you directly. It's them being, hey, I'm the authority of sailing, and you have to come to me to learn how to sail, and I'll teach you and I'll give you the system, but it'll be encased within sailing. It's not universal yet. It's just applied within a particular subject so that they can maintain, you know, like from a philosophical level, they can maintain the sense of authority. So being an authority, which is, you know, what having the universal application of this system, which gives you, it gives it back to you, because then you're the authority, you know, the system by which you can learn any subject for yourself. And you don't particularly have to go to some school to get their version, you know, of that system applied in their teachings, or they're teaching you that subject. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. You can just be empowered to know that you can basically do anything. Anybody else who's teaching you, quote unquote, how to do something also just learned it, and they're passing it down, but they're no different than you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the whole notion of there's an authority that's smarter than you that you have to learn something from becomes irrelevant, because you're more so looking for guides that have different, you know, like experience with, so for example, sailing, I took that whole hero's journey for the sailing trip as well. And I met guides along the way. They had experience and knowledge that I didn't have. And they pass that over to me, and I was like empowered by their first world experience, and you know, I could learn that, and I learned from that and use that in, you know, in my, you know, physical journey.
Yeah. So then, how do you see people in their lives? I mean, I see it too, giving their power away, asking, even starting a podcast, right? Like, do I need to take some sort of program for somebody who's done it before to tell me how to do it? Mm. Or should I step into like my own process of what it should look like? How do you see this playing out in people's lives where they give their power away and they follow some made up authority figure to tell them what to do?
Yeah, it's... How do I see that? I mean, people are doing it. It's funny because, where do I start? Because there's this whole coronavirus thing at the moment going on where there is an authority. There's an authority figure. And we don't exactly know who it is at the moment. Who is the authority that's telling us this stuff? Because at this point, the authority figure that's telling us all this fear and hype around this quote unquote virus, this particular strain of virus, is the government, pretty much. Like it's like trickled down through all media. Like it's in every sort of official government documented news. There's something to do with coronavirus. So it's really like taking this authority, that the highest authority, which is the government, which is, if you look at the word, the root word, government, which means governing the mind, goes back to Latin, gubernare. And so essentially that's what they're doing, is they're playing the role of the highest authority of governing the minds of the masses. And what we see is that we see an awakening. There is an awakening of people that are questioning that. They're questioning the validity of this appeal to authority. We're going to protect you. We're going to lock you up. We're going to, you know, limit your exposure. We're going to like lower the curve. That is the theology of this whole lockdown. It's like, we got to like flatten that curve. Okay. That's it. That's all there is, really.
That's the authority, what they're telling us to do.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, that's the science behind this thing. It's like fear and flatten the curve and lockdown and freedom of rights gone. You know, like you just don't have that. So In terms of people and their self-empowerment, it's really just about, I guess, the artist naturally, you know, this emanation of some calling, some feeling that you have, and you want to create that in art. And you mentioned podcasting. This is a form of art, creating a podcast and hosting that and, mm-hmm. you know, doing it your way instead of following some script or following some model that you learn from some teacher. That is, that's the way out of this, you know, for each and every one of us. And that's the way out of this. It's a vehicle for empowerment in this time and in this age where we have technology and we have, you know, robots and we have AI and we have the Internet of Things coming in. It's like we're in the middle of this big shift into this new way of living, which is going to be like, it's going to be very quick after this corona incident happens, if we can ever call it an after, because it's not going to be like an after. It's just going to be, this is just how it is from now on. But so art is how we can take back our power, take back our inspiration, take back our ability to create and ability to create change and do it our way, you know, take back our individual, unique, you know, authentic voice, authentic expression. And it gives us the ability to become the authorities of our own lives again, because no one can duplicate what we're doing. Like, no one can duplicate your level of art, whatever that is, whether it's one-on-one coaching or whether it's, you know, a beautiful painting on whatever, on a rock wall. So that's really the next renaissance that we're moving into is all about, you know, like you uniquely expressing yourself.
So what shifted for you when you had this experience that you did all by yourself? What did that do for you? What changed?
Well, I got back from the sailing trip and I felt like invincible. It was funny. I was like, I'd done this it was like a 3-month hero's journey. It was like condensed, like intense. I was already isolating because I was on a boat on my own pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I got back from that and I was sleeping on my brother's couch and he helped me sail like half of the way back, which is good. I had some company and stuff like that. And then, you know, I had his couch to sleep on for a few nights of the week. And, you know, it was there that I really got this chance to reflect on this journey that I've been on. And while I was reflecting, I was, you know, playing video games and really just trying to figure out like what my place in the world is now that I'd left everything. I left my old job. Like, I had a cleaning business at the time before I went on the sailing trip. And then I lost my work that I had, lost the cleaning work that I had. So I had to decide, what do? Do I stay and try and build up a new business or keep cleaning, which I don't like doing? Or do I do something completely different, buying a boat and going sailing? So I did that. So I had this, like, you know, another like life revision thing to go through. Like, what am I going to do now? Like, what's next? So I started to ask myself, what's the biggest problem I can solve? Because I don't know, that's just where I started. That was my starting place. Because I was already like really into like quantum physics and really trying to understand like the mechanics behind reality, the mechanics behind life, the, you know, and consciousness and, you know, our ability to influence our environment. So, you know, I was still pushing that envelope, you know, still trying to live on the edge there. Even though I was, you know, homeless, I was living on a boat and trying to figure it out. And it was that time when I was playing video games and I was playing this destructive video game. It's called Grand Theft Auto 5. And I was like, I was playing the game. I had my brother's account. I had $1 million in the bank and I was like doing whatever. I was bungee jumping. I was flying around and doing all my own stuff. It was like a free world to explore. And I found it, I was like, it was fascinating. It really gave me a different level of awareness of being in control of an avatar in a 3D environment. And I, you know, obviously gaming's a big thing and it's the beginning of this, virtual reality world, and I was like, wow, this is like incredibly addictive, this game, and mm-hmm. destructive, like huge amount of violence. And I thought to myself, like, what's the polar opposite to this game? Like, what would be a game that taught, you know, taught the laws of nature and educated people on how things really worked and the feedback loop of karma, so that we're not isolated in a virtual world where it has no consequences and it gives us no skills and understanding about our reality outside of the game, but so that we could use the game as a model to learn and explore our own subconscious, our own reality, when we come out of that game experience. So my challenge became to, you know, well, my question that I asked myself is, how do I code karma into a video game? And that question then led me to, you know, creating the work environment, the creative environment to explore answering that question. And it was during that exploration that, you know, I got synchronistically, I got sent a crop circle image. And this crop circle image then, at first I was like, I just, you know, I almost just dismissed it as ridiculous. Someone sent me a random image without any explanation. I was like, all right, I'll just dismiss that. But then I looked at it a little bit deeper and I was like, hang on, this is like really interesting, because this image was made of circles and I already understood the circle being the hero's journey. So I took the sequence of the hero's journey and applied that to a whole life. So for example, this whole incarnation of your physical form in your life right now. And you may be in the middle of your life, or you may be at the beginning, like you may be in the spring season of your life where you're still learning and growing, or you may be in the summer season of your life where you're actually, you know, starting to fill out and starting to like bear the physical ability to have fruit and be productive and all these sorts of things. Or you may be in the autumn stage of your life where you've bared all the fruit that you've got and you're actually now starting to like preserve that and trade that out with others and stuff like that, whatever the metaphor is. So I applied the hero's journey to this crop circle, and I saw that there was patterns. I saw a pattern in there, and then I started to decode that pattern, and then I started to really like isolate the different parts of this pattern and give it, you know, very specific coordinates, you know, or meaning, coordinates of meaning. And that's really this quantum feedback framework that came into being into my life, where I actually had this whole, you know, like out of body sort of like projection of like how a different timeline can happen just through taking in new information and understanding it in context to your whole life and your whole journey, and having a system to understand that, and a framework to understand that, so that you can then really create a new vision for your future, or a new restart for your life trajectory, so to speak. And that's really like the beginnings of what has come to be known quantum feedback now, which is sort of like the circle of life encapsulated into a methodology, a framework for understanding how our thoughts, feelings, and actions ripple into the quantum field, ripple into the karmic, you know, energetic sphere of your whole life, so that, you know, that energy that you're putting out feeds back onto you in synchronistic times, in opportunities, you know, in a year or 10 days or 5 days or right now, you know, like right now you can, you know, see the fulfillment of some intention that you set in the past. And this is like, I believe this is like a natural result of introspection and reflection that we have, but I feel like having a framework around it, having a visual understanding of how that works can actually be a technology for the human mind to then comprehend how quantum mechanics works, how, you know, this whole science of the law of attraction works, and how we can create our realities based on, you know, the thoughts and the feelings and the vibration of our existence, you know, the vibration of your body, and which are the result of your thoughts and feelings and actions that you take.
So can you walk us through an example of what this is? This something that you work with your clients? I'm guessing this is what you do.
Yeah, this is what I do. And, you know, this is like probably all about like mapping out your life in general, like where it's been. And this is something that you do intuitively in your own mind once you have the framework. But you can map it out more directly, and you can see your journeys that you've been on, and we can like isolate them and really like pick out the knowledge and the wisdom that you've gotten from those journeys and how that's created who you are today. And that's looking into the past. So it's like, you know, like we want to review the past, see how we got here, and so that we can understand what we'd need to do to get out of there, you know, what we need to do to create something different. And then we'd be...
So do people typically find you when something is wrong, like they need to go a different direction?
Yeah, it's typically like the beginnings of something new, or people that have a calling that they want to action, but there's something getting in the way. You know, there's like this residual pain body of fear and anxiety that's come from, you know, actions that you've taken in the past, that stops you. Like it stops you from being authentic, you know, it puts you in a state of fight and flight and survival instead of, you know, like being free and being on the edge, on the leading edge, and, you know, and expressing yourself authentically. So that's some of the other people I see. They have a calling, but they don't know how to action it. They're really just trying to like build momentum and break through some subconscious patterns and beliefs. And we use a framework to reprogram, you know, isolate those patterns and beliefs, and then write over that with, you know, new programming, essentially, with a new vision, with a new, you know, habits, essentially. That's what it's all about. It's about going back to the daily journey of maintaining that level of, you know, your level of control over the daily journey will influence your, you know, your quarterly journey and your whole, the whole thing that you can do in what you can accomplish in a year and 10 years. That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Can you give us an example of like a real or made up person, and like, what is it that they come to see about themselves, and what are they able to create for themselves?
Yes. An example would be like someone that, well, I'll use the coronavirus thing for an example, as an example, because that's pretty relevant during today. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of people out there that have been working full time, you know, like at a job that they have enjoyed. And now they can't do that. Like they physically can't go there, or they have to work remotely, which, you know, has its own pluses and has its own benefits. But so typically what we would see is people feeling lost, you know, in a way that this job that's fulfilled them for so many years, this role that they've been playing, isn't there anymore. It doesn't feed them anymore. It doesn't take up their time. So now they have to use their time to, you know, in other ways, and figure out how to do that, and also ask those bigger questions. So this is something that, yeah, this is something that I would help them through by using this framework, by going, okay, so you've been doing this job for so long, but what was there before you were doing the job? Like, what's your actual intention? Why were you doing it? Like, what are you actually passionate about, essentially? Mm-hmm. And then we use the framework to, you know, look into the past, to analyze where they are right now, and then we would project into the future and see what's there. What are the desires that are there? What's actually coming up? What's the calling that you're receiving now? Because you have time to take a break, and you have time to reflect. And then how do we take action? So essentially, like, this is a program of action. Like, it's a course of action more so than something that is a passive sort of learning thing, because I believe that the only real way to learn is to take action and to experiment and to put yourself out there and put yourself into the unknown. So it's probably just more about help, you know, guiding someone to go from where they are in the fear and anxiety of being in a post-corona world where mm-hmm. job security is not there and where, you know, like physically can't go out sort of thing, and to take something that's within them, some passion, some gift, and to turn that into an authentic expression, and then that would become a lifeline for you personally, for personal fulfillment, but also a lifeline for future potential income, you know, revenue stream, so that that can support you in, you know, in the new world, essentially, because we're moving very quickly into the new world. And it's only by being able to course correct during these times and to take action based on your own inspiration, by being the authority of your own life, that you can then become who you're always meant to be, you know, become that vision of yourself, that higher vision of yourself. Oh, that explains it very good, but that's an aspect to it. You know, there is an aspect of the framework, which is, you know, a technological aspect to it, where we, you know, literally like code it into a video game and create this level of, you know, feedback that takes into account, you know, like seemingly infinite layers of complexity, which is super exciting. And I haven't, you know, like that's like a whole new journey for me.
So it sounds like people who are in, I mean, there's so many factors, right? Because I think that a lot of people are experiencing the coronavirus as an invitation to a different future. And sometimes it takes something like this for people to want to shift their lives. So if somebody was happy enough in their day job, they wouldn't have necessarily wanted to look for something different. Mm. But it seems like a lot of the people that would work with you are in some sort of transition where they're becoming aware that maybe they don't actually want to continue in the same life that they've always had, because it's not actually bringing them what they want. And maybe they don't know what they want, but they're looking for something different.
Mm. Yeah, there's a big part of, like, no, I think the human species is we don't know what we want. You know, we want change, we want something different, and we want good. We want, you know, more of the good and less of the bad. But, you know, there's a big part where we, in a general sense, we don't know exactly what we want. So yeah. That's really, you know, it's a disempowering place to be, because without knowing exactly what you want, you're really, you know, limited in being able to create change, because you can't project an actual image into the field. You can't actually, it makes it difficult to create because you're confused and you don't know what you want. So, and I think that's really where the media likes to keep people, you know, because we're overwhelmed by different sources of information, by different types of information, constantly being triggered in fight and flight and all the rest, that, you know, it's really just a version of like extended adolescence, where we haven't really grown up. We haven't actually learned how to think for ourselves, how to become autonomous, how to learn something and to, you know, navigate the journey in the unknown for ourselves. Because most people have just been sort of funneled from one thing into another thing, and it's sort of just all, you know, seemingly happened coincidentally, but all kind of laid out for them on that path. And that's something that I saw like a long time ago. I'm gonna steer well clear of that, because, you know, I always wanted to be in control of my own destiny and to choose my own path to take, and sort of being super cautious about like, oh, entering into some organizational sort of structure that had everything sort of worked out for me, and all I had to do was sort of show up and just perform a duty and go home, because I was like, oh, it's not meaningful, very repetitive, and you know, and it's not really like using my actual spiritual energy for anything except for being a robot, which we're gonna get, like we're moving into the age of the robots. So it's a poignant time to be exploring this stuff and to have the time and freedom to, you know, I suppose get in touch with your inner world. That's what I would say is the first step to cultivating better quantum feedback, is to get in touch with your inner world and to start to create the habit of doing that, because then it becomes less scary. Your inner world becomes less scary. The unknown, because it is the biggest unknown in most people's lives. So that nothing can really surprise you in the outside world, because you have a better understanding of your inner world. And you also then start to cultivate these deeper seeds of, you know, of your soul potential, like looking at your life from a bigger perspective. You know, if you came into incarnation for a reason, what was that reason? And are you doing that today? And if you're not doing it today, why are you not? And I recommend, you know, for people to begin this journey and start building better feedback in their life, to meditate and to use what I call a quantum habit stack, which is doing a three-step habit. Like it's essentially just stacking three habits into one. So you just do the quantum habit stack, which is meditating in the morning and then following the meditation, journaling directly after. So you're journaling, it's just like, you know, like a brain dump onto paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're processing the, you know, the thoughts and the feelings that, you know, naturally just reside in your subconscious mind, and you're processing it and giving it form. And that's just, it's a reflection of how the brain naturally works. There's an input process, which is the meditation, the processing part, which is the journaling, and then the output part, which is then starting to create your art, starting to create your thing, starting to do your thing, no matter like whatever it is. And breaking it down into the smallest things that you can do to get momentum. And that's a way that you can start to build momentum, creating your life the way you want to do it, the way you want to live your life, and the kinds of things that you want to be doing in this post-corona time.
I think what you're talking about is so important. I think, at least in my experience, and I think we talked about this last week when we were chatting, it often takes these jarring experiences for people to pay attention to what's happening in their lives. I think we're told what we're supposed to do, what will make us happy, you know, get the house, get the car, have the income, and then antidepressants are everywhere. Like people are not finding happiness because what they're told makes them happy doesn't actually make them happy. And it's usually some sort of really difficult transition. In my experience, and I've seen it with clients and friends and people, it's these really disruptive experiences that wake us up because we're asleep. We are like robotic in our lives.
Mm, totally.
So where is your life at now? Like, how have you come? Like, you did this sailing trip. You live on the boat, I think, right? Do you live on the sailboat?
Yeah, I live on my sailing boat currently. And where is my life at now? Well, it's all...
Yeah, tell us what you've created.
Yeah, well, over the last year, I started this Instagram account called Quantum Feedback. And I was really just at my wit's end. I was like, I can't do anything else but this thing because... You know, like I had all this anxiety about stepping into this role of, you know, producing this body of work, which is called Quantum Feedback, and really owning that space and becoming the authority in that and teaching from that perspective and guiding and supporting people through that. you know, so I was literally like sitting on that for 5 years. And when I sort of got back from the sailing trip, my dad rang me up and he asked me if I could come and look after his medicinal herb farm and learn how to make herbal medicines and tinctures and creams and all this sort of like, you know, like really good, useful, practical things, medicine essentially. And so I did that for 3 years and I got distracted. I got distracted and I lost sight of this dream, of this calling that I had within me, which is quantum feedback, this technology. And it really like took me getting coaching, you know, to take this authentic voice, this authentic thing that was coming through me to start to put it into practice, start to produce content, start to teach from this place and start to, you know, inspire people that, you know, this mystical experience that we're having on planet Earth is an empowering one. Like we are literally living in a place where all your dreams can come true. So I started this Instagram account a year ago, and since then it's sort of grown to 30,000 followers and it's just all organically grown. And I've just been exploring how to meet the world with quantum feedback. And it's just been a fascinating journey that just keeps going. Like it's every week, every day, every moment I'm inspired to take this knowledge, understanding, and wisdom and produce something with it, like to transform that into, I don't know, life-altering circumstances and education and content and posts and memes and all that kind of stuff. And really just coaching and guiding people in how to live a different life, how to live a better life and become masters and the authority of their own existence, to live the dream, you know, to go sailing and live the dream and be free and have abundance and all these things. That's where I'm at right now. It's and what a time to be in, really.
So do you feel like you are living the dream?
Oh, I'm like this morning I woke up and I did my gratitude practice and I was like, oh, I was so grateful, like so great, like so much beauty around me. And yeah, to answer your question more directly, yes and no, you know, yes, I am living the dream because I'm living the dream of how I got here. And no, because there is another dream. There is another dream on the horizon. And so there's this moving tide, this, you know, the, I don't know, it's constantly evolving and changing. So it's mm-hmm. like, yes and no, I'm living the dream. Yes, I'm doing the work. Yes. And I'm not as well. Like there's always new stuff. There's always leveling up to do. There's always change to count, like to take in and to show up for. And it's a very like dynamic time that we're in. It's a dynamic challenge to become the master of your own destiny, to, you know, put your money where your mouth is and to start to live that as a way of life. So, and it, you know, like it is the ultimate expression of the human form to become, you know, really autonomous and to become free and to be liberated by the creation of your mind, creation of, you know, that your heart resonates with. Yeah. So yeah, I am living the dream and I'm creating new dreams.
I think abundance takes on a different meaning. I think a lot of us think of abundance as material wealth. Mm. And my experience is that it's so much more than that. And I think I hear that that's what you're creating. Like there's more and you're at peace.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, totally. Like most people's level of understanding of abundance is like all about money. It's all about money. I got $1 million in my bank account and you know, and that's my level of abundance, and that's really all that matters. And I've taken the completely opposite approach. Like I've made money a byproduct of of living a free life. And where that's, you know, coming to a head is abundance is a byproduct of living an abundant life. So having an abundant amount of time and having the freedom to create your thing, the freedom to express yourself. That's really the ultimate form of abundance, in my opinion. You know, obviously you want, you know, friends and family and, you know, these other riches that you can't really quantify in, you know, in your bank account as, you know, as your abundance grows. But essentially it's just your time and attention. That's, you know, my measure of abundance is, I feel so abundant because I control my time and attention. That's really so important because, I can hear my next door neighbors right now on their boat talking about coronavirus stuff. And it's like their time and attention, they got time, but their attention is distracted by the coronavirus. And a lot of us are distracted about the coronavirus today, and tomorrow it might be, you know, whatever the other news articles distract us with, what they were doing before coronavirus came about. So it's really about taking back your time and attention. We got our time back now. Now it's about taking back your attention and putting that and channeling that into your creative expression to create something new and to feed forward into the quantum field so that you can receive the benefits of that, you know, now in terms of the feel-good effects that you're getting, the feel-good chemicals of doing your thing, and later as a result of people inviting you to speak and to show your gifts and, you know, present them and whatever it is for you. That's all. That is the beauty of this work. It's like it's so universal that anyone can do it.
Yeah, I love that. We don't even realize that we have a choice sometimes where our attention goes. And, you know, like the name of this podcast, people are not living their lives. They're living some life that they think they're supposed to live and talking about the things that they think they're supposed to be talking about. It's just, it's sad a lot of the time.
What about you? Like, how are you helping? I mean, like, what's the vision for the podcast? Like, how is that, I guess, you know, these interviews are going to help tremendously, won't they? It's like.
I think a big part of my work is just breaking people free from the stories. And so I think when we talked last week, I realized how similar our work was. It's different. We use different verbiage, but it feels like the same idea of inviting people to live their lives. And what does that mean? And it's based on, you know, there's these old stories, these experiences, and we have chosen which direction we want to go based on these experiences. And a lot of us didn't realize that we had a choice. So I have these past experiences, and then I have the influence of my family, the media, you know, like the boyfriend I had when I was in whatever, you know, it's like we have all these things that tell us who we are, and we don't live an empowered life. We live a life operating under these belief systems that were given to us or put upon us. And it's this metaphorical prison that we've created for ourselves. So then here we are, fast forward, sitting on your neighbor's boat, which, you know, maybe they want to talk about the coronavirus, but I could be sitting on that boat having that conversation with them, not really realizing that I have a choice on what I want to do. I can actually stay in that conversation. I can spray everybody with disinfectant. I can freak out. I can jump in the water. Like, those are options for me, of course. Or I can go walk away and like dance in my living room, like do something that makes me feel good. So I think that's a big part of the work that I do is people don't even know who they're telling themselves that they are. People are operating from stories. And the stories create their future. They don't create their future. Their stories create their future. And I know that I've done that a lot in my life. So when you're talking about the different seasons, I don't know what season I'm in right now. I feel like I'm probably in the beginning of something huge because I was living my life in this old narrative of who I thought that I was and what I thought that I wanted and all of those things. And now, I think I was telling you this, you know, I had all the things that I thought my stories told me, these are the things that would make you happy. Mm. And now I have very few of those things in my life after a divorce and moving out of my home and losing a partner, of course, all of those things. And I have this sense of abundance and peace in my life that I never knew would have existed if I didn't experience what I experienced. Nobody could ever tell me. I had to walk through it. So when you're talking about taking action, creating a new life, I never would have chosen to leave what I had. Mm. I wouldn't have, because I thought that I had the things that would make me happy. But then when I didn't have a choice, here I am in this life and I'm experiencing the abundance that we're talking about. It doesn't look the way that I thought abundance would look. Like if I, you know, drew a picture of what I thought abundance might look like, it's completely different. But for me, it's the inner peace, the ability to choose what kind of future I want, what kind of people I want in my life. And I think a big part of what I hear you talking about and not calling it this is love. Mm. Like having an experience of peace and love, surrounding myself with things that feel loving to me, people that feel loving. This feeling of peace I experience as a divine connection. It's the most authentic truth when I break free from the stories. But I had to be invited to that in an invitation that was not very pretty, right? Mm. But I'm the kind of person that, the same as you, there have been many times in my life where I maybe didn't choose to step into my power and to choose the life path. But because of so many years of being drawn to these different teachers and these different experiences, like how did I end up? You know, it's like I went through this divorce 2 years ago and I could have, there were a lot of things I could have done. I could have started getting on dating sites. I could have found a new husband quickly. I could have gotten pregnant. Like, I had a lot of options, but this is part of the reason that I met you. I chose to go on a spiritual trip to Bali. Hmm. I went to Bali and I met with shamans and I did yoga and I did all of these things to invite me to a more powerful connection with myself so that I could take that vessel, that vehicle of like the most authentic, peaceful, happy, healthy version of me, who's not dating, who's not looking for a new husband, who really wants to get to know herself, to like blast into this amazing future, which I completely believe that I'm going to have that because it's what I already have. I already have it. I already have peace. No matter what happens, I know difficult things will happen in my life, but I just follow what feels like the most aligned path for me. And I pay attention and I look at what in my life has been successful. Conversations are something that I like how you said that they were art, because I agree with that. I wouldn't have seen it like that before. But talking is something that I love to do. I think it's incredibly powerful. And I think it's a way to share a message. I believe it's one of the ways that I'm meant to serve in this world, to have these conversations, to expand people's consciousness, because maybe they're not in a crisis, right? But maybe they come upon this podcast and they take a moment to think about their lives and what they're doing. Maybe it's just that. Maybe that's enough. Mm. But to share the message, because I've learned so much in my life, and I totally believe I've learned it because I'm meant to share it and help people live their best lives and not stay in their prisons, which I know that that's what you do too. People stay stuck in a prison. Mm.
Yes. Prison of their own mind.
Mm-hmm. And then that takes me to the last question that I have for you, which I think is important, is you talked a lot about this kind of learning things and understanding them for yourself, like learning how to sail without somebody else becoming the authority. I think because of the work that I've done, there are a lot of people out there who will call themselves a coach. They'll call themselves a guru and they'll want to help you, quote unquote, live your best life. So you have this coaching practice. I have a coaching business. I think it's really important for people to understand the difference between giving your power away and getting support to be your best version of yourself. That sometimes we do need support, but we're not giving our power away. Can you say something about that?
Yeah, well, essentially, if I had to break that down, it's more like, you know, let me just segue for a little bit. There is that like life coaching sort of thing that we've just gone through. I call it like a trend, life coaching trend. And it's been an explosive industry, as in like lots of people becoming life coaches. It's training facilities for that. You can go and do a 12-week course and you become a life coach, come out the other end with, you know, the experience that you get in that course and your own life experience. And for me personally, I've always sort of erred away from that because I was like, oh, I want to live my own life and get my own life experience and teach from that perspective of having lived it and gone through it and applied it, as opposed to going to school, because I found at school I was surrounded by teachers that were just reading from a book and then just regurgitating that what they were getting from a book. And I was like, oh, I mean, anyone can just do that and they can be called a teacher. And there is some elements to that that's, you know, good and bad. So in terms of like providing that, you know, playing that role of being the guide, I think there's like, there's a shamanistic way about, there's a shamanistic version of being a guide, being a life coach. And there is a corporate version of being a life coach. I guess you're going to get, you know, one's going to steer you more in towards the normal structure of things and the other's going to help you to uncover the truth that's within you. And regarding giving away your power and stuff like that, I think, you know, I don't know a lot of life coaches, but from what I've seen is that they haven't really gotten in touch with their power in the first place, their own personal power. And that's just taking a small segment of like of this industry.
I think with a lot of the training that I've done, there's a lot of people who have a rescuer shadow where they need to be rescuing somebody in order to feel their sense of self-worth, which obviously isn't everybody, but you can get a lot of people can get help in ways that are not necessarily helpful for them. And so I think you and I both sell coaching. And so how can we make that safe for people in the sense that they're not, at least the way that I teach and that I coach is I'm inviting people to their own experience. I'm not telling them, I'm not regurgitating some scripted anything. I'm inviting them back to the truth by unpacking the false stories. And so I think the reason it's important is because we kind of started off the conversation of like, you want to step into your own power, don't give your power away. But then here we are offering to help people. So how is it different? How is this an experience where we're not taking somebody's power away, but we're actually removing the blocks to the blocks of their own story so that they can access, they are still accessing their own power. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's just like becoming an accurate mirror, like an honest, truthful mirror. That's, you know, that's reflecting more back than what the status quo does. I feel like that's really like a big part of my role is like, I got this unique perspective of life that isn't the common thread, isn't the mainstream narrative. Like, I find it very difficult to like relate to that or even to reflect that back to people. It's more like, I'm just going to give you the honest truth rather than, you know, some formula that I picked up from, you know, from the let's just say some formula picked up from school that I'm going to regurgitate to you so that you can use it without even me using it. That's, So it's, you know, it's probably just more about being that reflective guide for someone else, because we're all at different levels in the journey. Like, there's nothing like, and essentially when you get down to the basics of life, the basics of the journey, it's like everything is your guide and potentially nothing as well. Like, you can use that bird that's flying around outside, I can see it, as a guide because it's taking me and reminding me of the present moment, and it's, you know, and allowing me to get in touch with the most important thing that I can focus on right now, which is being present. And and then what next? And then what next? And then constantly reminding myself of that presence and what next. Yeah, so it's probably just this notion of, I guess there's a part of me that's, you know, like a bit disruptive in the whole coaching thing, because like the model, clearly, I mean, clearly the model that we've just been living hasn't really been working. You know, like everyone's trying to put a patch job on a systematic problem. You know, oh, I'm going to get some coaching and I'm going to find some relief. And, you know, but the problem is like so systemic that it stems all the way down to, you know, the fundamental way that you interact with the world and interact with, you know, consumerism and society and culture and information and taking in information, which fundamentally reflects your relationship with yourself. So what I'm hearing from you is all about getting in touch with your relationship with yourself and your stories that narrate your own life. And, you know, and which really can become a, you know, which naturally is a pretty confronting place to be. It's looking at what's going on in your own mind, in your own subconscious. And it's like, that's a challenging stuff. Like people don't naturally want to do that. You know, they want to do everything else but that. You know, give me the quick pill fix. Like, give me the quick fix, not the hard, like, confronting shadow work. So,
The only way out is through.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what people don't want to do.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, bringing that all back into the now, which is like, in the thick of the corona, you know, we're all being forced to do that in some way. But yeah, I mean, it's a complete unknown, like how people are doing it, what they're doing, you know, and essentially, you know, if I take my life as a guide for anything, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter like what practices you're doing, why you're isolating, why you're in quarantine and, you know, spending all this time on your own, you know, it doesn't matter if you're repeating cycles of the past or if you're creating new stuff that's brand new and you're like leaning into the fear and the anxiety of doing new stuff, which also is very exciting. It doesn't matter if you're doing either or, as long as you have a full radical acceptance of what you're doing. Like, it's like, because nothing's here forever. Everything's in constant change and constant flux. So it's just, if anything, this is a time where we remember that change is inevitable and that our stories change naturally. Our stories are, they're already changing because the world around us has changed. So it's just a reminder that, you know, a bad day is okay, but it's like tomorrow we've got to, you know, go back to these practices and disciplines of cultivating yourself into, you know, the person that you want to be, you know, that ultimate higher vision of yourself. And
yeah, connecting to the truth.
Yeah. And curating that story for your own life.
So any final thoughts? We've been almost an hour and a half now, so we've talked about a lot. Any parting words, anything that you think is really important for people to know about you or your work before we end?
I fundamentally believe that you are just one hero's journey away from living the life of your dreams, no matter what that is, because as soon as you step into the unknown, your world will change, your world will shift, and you will start to see the glimmer of hope. You will start to see the synchronicities of your own life creation, creating your journey, your path. And that is really the most beautiful thing to be a part of, to be within, to be experiencing, is the unknown. It's also, you know, the scariest part when you're not in the unknown, but it's when you're on the journey that you feel the most alive. Mm. And it's only by going on the journey that you can know the reason for going on the journey for the first time. So I implore you to, get out there and do your thing. The number one thing that only you can do that no one else can do.
I love that. So how can people find you?
I am on Instagram at Quantum Feedback. That's probably the best place to go, because social media is the way to go. But I've also got quantumfeedback.org, so you can find me there. And I look forward to connecting on there and, for us to cross paths someday.
Thank you so much for telling your story and sharing your wisdom. It's, I think you've been through a lot to be able to share this information, and it's really important and powerful information. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. I appreciate your feedback.
Thank you for listening to the Live Your Life podcast with me, Jasmine Savari, where I have inspiring conversations that invite you to fully live your life. I am a life coach and a licensed mental health counselor, but this podcast is not a replacement for counseling or healthcare services. If you find yourself in crisis, please call 911 or the National Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255.